John 12, verses 27 to 28. Christ speaking. "Now my heart is troubled," he said. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Verse 23. Jesus has made this statement. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And now he speaks of that hour. And this is what he says. "Now my heart is troubled." It has been troubled. It's been troubled a long time. It's still with me. "I'm shrinking," he says, "from it." Are you frightened by that? Here we see the real humanity of Christ. A man there is, a real man. Jesus, God, Emmanuel, yes. But contracted to a span. Incarnate. God becoming man. He faces in his mind, in his heart, in his soul. "Now my heart, my soul, my inner being, my whole being is troubled." He faces the betrayal, giving him away to the enemies who will crucify him or have him crucified. The desertion, the denials, and of course the separation from his Father. The horrors of the cross, Gethsemane, the sufferings, and being made a sin offering. The sin of all his people heaped upon him. The agony, the desertion, the suffering, the shedding of his blood, the pain, the torment of his soul. "Now my heart, my soul, my innermost being is deeply, deeply agitated. And what shall I say? Shall I say this? Father, save me from this hour." Of course, Jesus is not saying this because he wants advice or counsel. He's helping us. "Shall I say to my Father, Lord, deliver me?" We know that a whole host of angels could come and deliver him. "Shall I pray for that?" he says. "No, no, never." Why not? "Because it was for this very reason I came to this hour. I became a man for this very purpose. I left heaven's glory. I was born of the Virgin, laid in a manger, lived among men, and I'm now going to the cross. Why? This is the very purpose of my coming. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, the hour has come when I will, by my sufferings, by my death, burial, and resurrection, bring about, accomplish that purpose. So what will I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, no, no. What will I say? Father, glorify your name." Look at verse 23. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The Christ will be glorified here. And he prays for the glory of his Father in his own death and therefore his own glory. John 5, 22 to 23. "The glory of the Father and the glory of the Son are one and the same." Here we have the real humanity of Christ. And in his sufferings and death, his glory. and the glory of his Father. In John 6, we know that the Jews were expecting at this time, even his disciples, some of them, that he, Jesus, would now show his glory by becoming a political king, a mighty conqueror over the Romans, restoring the kingdom, establishing again Israel as a great nation. We had thought that he would restore Israel. This is the kind of teaching they have. We read that in John 6. We know it in Luke 24 and so on. But the glory of Christ was not in military conquest. It was not in political power. What was it? It was in the saving of sinners from their sins. It wasn't delivering Israel from Rome, the imperial Rome. It was delivering sinners from damnation. It wasn't restoring the Jewish kingdom. It was establishing the gospel of everlasting salvation for sinners throughout the world. Remember the context. All this is said in the context of the Greeks. It's not just Jew. It's Greek as well. This gospel will be preached from Christ's glorious throne. Where is his glorious throne? The cross of Calvary. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. What shall I say? Father, glorify your name. John 17 will expand on this. But here we do see the sufferings of Christ. Matthew 26, 39 to 42, go to Gethsemane and see him there in agony, sweating great drops, as it were, of blood. Hebrews 5, 7, while he was on earth, tears, prayers, anguish, sufferings. But see the glory of Christ. It's not monarch's wreaths or ermine robes, golden thrones. It's a wooden cross, a tree, nailed there, in agony and blood. And when he cries, it is accomplished, it is finished, then is the salvation accomplished of all his people. Believer, should not our hearts be moved by this? Should not our love go out to Christ? Should we not see what sin really is? And gazing upon our Redeemer, should we not love him, trust him, serve him, obey him, worship him? What can we render to the Lord for all his benefits toward us? Let us gaze upon him in his sufferings and know it was for us. Oh, unbeliever, here is your answer, here is your solution, here is your need, here is your way to be right with God, Christ and Christ only, his blood and righteousness. Do not pass by in ignorance. All ye that pass by to Jesus, draw nigh. See if there ever was suffering like this, and know why he was suffering. It's not just the simple pain, the physical agony. It's the spiritual, and it's the root cause of it all. He is dying in the place of sinners, condemned, suffering, to redeem them from the wrath of God. Will you not trust this Christ? Will you not shelter in his precious blood? Will you not glory in his cross? Will you not learn to say with the apostle, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. I'll close this short discourse with a hymn by Joseph Swain. Every believer can echo these words. Unbeliever, these words can be yours if you will come to Christ now. On the wings of faith uprising, Jesus crucified I see, while his love my soul surprising cries, I suffered all for thee. Then beneath the cross adoring, sin doth like itself appear. When the wounds of Christ exploring, I can read my pardon there. Here I'd feast my eyes for ever, while this balm of life I prove. Every wound appears a river, flowing with eternal love. Sorrow proves the spring of pleasure. War becomes the seed of peace. Poverty the source of treasure. Anguish teems with boundless bliss. Who can think without admiring? Who can hear and nothing feel? See the Lord of life expiring, yet retain a heart of steel. Angels here may gaze and wonder what the God of love could mean when he tore that heart asunder, never once defiled with sin. As the apostle said to the Corinthians, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. That we who believe, of course, that we, through his poverty, might become rich.